I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, can we have approval of meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, meeting minutes approved. Maintenance of Centennial Park. Bring on Linda.
Thank you.
Good morning, Linda.
Which one turns this on? Push to talk. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. 27 years ago, I contacted Deschutes County about the little triangle next to the, on the corner of Huntington and Highway 97. That piece of property is county owned. I have the descriptions, township range section on it. Still belongs to the county. I asked them if I could put some lawn in there, which they said that would be fine. The county does not own a little park, so it's up to us to maintain it. And so since then, I put in an underground sprinkler system. We, when we went to the city water system, the Truax, they did not realize we were using their water. They did, but they forgot about it. So that when they sent a maintenance man out to disconnect and go to city water, I was out without water on that piece. So I hired a plumber. We did a check valve and everything. The county pays for the water on that property. City doesn't pay it. The county still pays for that water. And I think it was the consensus at the council meeting to let the county go ahead and continue paying for it. So what I'm going to do, my goal here is I'm going to turn this over to the city of Lapine. 27 years is enough for me to maintain that park out of my pocket and donations. That sign was professionally engineered, and I'm going to turn all the papers over to the city showing all the specs on it, the costs of it, and then we raise money along with Stu's help for the sign, for the flagpole. All of those papers are in here. And then I wrote to Mr. Truax, here's a letter from him, saying that as his donation to the city, he would continue to pay the electricity bill for those lights that come on at night. But I've only had to replace one of those bulbs once, but we still are responsible. You will be responsible for maintaining those lights to have them come on, that shine up on the flag. This is a letter from Mr. Truax stating that he was happy to do it. It was, and John Rhodes, contractor, did the electrical for me and did that as a donation. And Mr. Truax said it'd be fine as long as it was professionally done. And I have all that papers from John Rhodes.
Patty, when we're done here, for asking for our files.
Okay, yeah, I want to just turn all of this over. Because I think it's important that you have the engineering specs and everything showing. And a lot of people were confused, why did we put the sign right where it was, you know, how people get, why wasn't it back farther, why wasn't it closer? You're dealing with two highways there. One's county, one's state. So it has to be a certain amount of feet from the state highway, a certain amount of feet from the center line on the county. That's where it came out, is right there. We mow that about once a week. It gets fertilized three times a year, and I understand you're going to have a maintenance man for this part out here in front. And at the council meeting, they said that they felt that they could take on that too. We'll continue to mow it through the end of the season. it will have to be, the irrigation will have to be winterized, probably the same time you do this one. But I will tell you, if your landscaper or whoever's going to do it, that water has got to be on every day. And the reason is you get that traffic on both sides, which causes a wind factor, which really dries it. And you start letting that dry out, and you're going to get some phone calls from people that just passing by that saying, what's happening to the park? I think eventually that sod's going to have to be replaced. 27 years, everybody that uses that service station lets their dog out there. There's dog spots on it and everything, but I think it's a focal. I'm glad I took it on years and years ago, but I think the time has come. So remember, it does have to be fertilized 3 times a year, which it doesn't take that much fertilizer. It's small. So I'm going to give it to you. Give it back to you. Okay?
Linda, does somebody have to go up there and turn the water on? Or?
No. I also put in a timer.
Okay.
And it comes on automatically. Good. I'm having one problem with over next to that pine tree that it seems to always be dry, and I think that head might need to be replaced. I've just gotten so busy, haven't gotten down. My friend Ron, he goes in and mows it for us once a week, and we dispose of the grass and everything. So it's been maintained very well, and I think it's such a focal that it needs to continue to be maintained. But if you think you're going to cut back on water, it isn't going to happen because it dries out so quickly. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
All you can do, Linda.
She gave a report to the council last meeting, and then we have a person mowing this, so we'll next year we'll just add that on, and those do it when they're here.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda, for your service to the community.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
So the next item on the agenda is City Hall Sidewalk Project Completion Report by Vic Russell.
Just wanted to, Vic was here, we had several projects, you can come on, we had several projects we were working on with Vic. He'll go back and forth here, but just, you know, this one's done, so if you had any questions other than the lights, and Noah will tell you how that's coming, but it looks good. We have it contracted out for mowing, and yeah, they're still adjusting the water and those kind of things that always are normal, but it's been kept looking great, lots of good comments, and I think it sets the place off very nice. All we have left is the lights, and Vic did this project for us.
Yeah, I'm not prepared for anything to give you anything, answer any questions. The only recommendation I'd have is that on your flagpoles, I think I'd put them outside the sidewalks in the future. I wouldn't put them in the sidewalk. And but there's sure been a lot of nice comments on it. And as far as the addition,
when you say that, just because it's going to be a,
I'm concerned it's going to be a trip hazard. I mean, right now you're not doing anything, but as you lose the tops, you take out, put the stuff in. If you're snow plowing, I just think it's going to be a maintenance issue. It doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Time will tell. It may be perfect, but I think I would do it different in the future.
I mean, there's a couple things I think that I noticed that we would probably do, because remember, this was our experiment. We'll mm-hmm. be doing it down at First Street. The rock that's in there probably could be more formed with concrete as a spillway. If you go out, you will see it. When the water, we had a couple of thunderstorms, water goes where water wants to go when it's running, and it's picking a spot, and what it does, it only comes down a few inches, and then it diverts off, and you end up with, like any time you would have a trough. And I was looking at the ones in Madison, they come and then they're angled on the edge and it troughs you down with a little bit of concrete under it. And those rocks are actually same principle, but the rocks are set in the concrete. The kids can't pick them up and throw them and move them around. So when we do First Street with ODOT, I think that those little, and that may be their standard, and Eric's working on that for us, but I think that definitely you can go out and you can see where, you know, that happened. And then, you know, our engineering on this one, I'm not really all that happy with. I mean, you would think we would have had the water all flowing that way, and then there would have been an overflow into the where all the water is supposed to go. So in other words, when you exceed the capacity of the bioswale, you overflow out. And the low spots in the middle. So you're not, you never get to the other end. And I don't know if you could engineer it to get to the other end.
Well, there was major issues with engineering. There just wasn't enough time spent, because we basically didn't build it. It was engineered, because we had to match some existing grades so it would look good. They had issues on the south end, so we wouldn't be a trip hazard as we meet the curb. We did put in a 6-inch sleeve on the south end. If we end up with a lot of flooding issues, there is a route to, when it comes up, it'll flow out.
Yes.
But you'll still have a low spot in the center.
Flow already deal with the sidewalk? Right
no, now. It'll flow out before it gets sidewalk. Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
The only question I have is, how well are those trees going to hold up, considering they are...
There's been a lot of discussion on that with the landscaper.
The maples down in front of the school have been replaced 3 years now.
Yeah, the landscaper's concerned that they're going to be replaced. Now, those are made to for this climate. Now, one of the local realtors here has done quite a bit with trees. He used to be in the landscape business, and he recommends either you do a wild pear or a variation of a couple crab apples that will survive here. He's
even
replaced.
Mountain ash would probably...
Well, I'm not a tree guy.
Anyway,
but it's you just, have the potential that they may be replaced.
Yeah.
But they are designed to meet this climate. So, but even the landscaper's concerned.
That's because of the climate, but they don't understand that the pine, which is a little bit different from normal places.
Right.
Well, they have a 2-year guarantee on these, and we'll see how it goes. That's probably been the biggest call I've had. People tell me that we should have put like pine trees. I've had people tell me the pear tree, no tree, different versions of the maples. 10 people have 10 trees. 20 people got 20 trees probably. That's one thing. And I told a few of them, you know, that I'm not a tree arborist. And, you know, we paid an engineer who paid a firm. And the firm works in high climates. The trees were graded for that. If I go out and try, and I have emails. I said, "Are you sure about these trees?" They said, "Yes." We paid them to do the job, and they said, "Yes." There's not a lot I can do at that point. They are guaranteed for 2 years, and so everyone in the room may be right. If they die, then we'll have to figure something out. I don't know beyond that, because I certainly am not going to pick, you know, and there are only certain kind of trees become street trees. I mean, you know, there's trees we can put out there that might live here, but they don't really look like a street tree either. But they did say these maples have different varieties. I think everyone just has a maple, but I don't know, unless you looked at the specs, you actually know what maple that is. And this maple, I don't remember the name of it, is supposedly for this climate. And it's different than the maples in Prineville. So, I don't know. We'll all be watching.
Yes,
I'm
we
sure
will.
We'll find out this spring whether they come back.
And I think it's okay you made the comment that we're not normal. I'm okay with that. A little sensitive sometimes.
If we were, none of us would be living in Prineville.
That's right.
Well, I have a couple of comments for you.
Okay.
Away from this.
Okay.
Now, first thing. The ladies at the senior center are very appreciative of the job you did on the sidewalks from Bi-Mart to Crescent Creek. They really like it. People are using them. They're attractive. They want to thank you very much for
you guys did a good job. Those wider sidewalks, that's the comments we're getting, because you went to the 8-foot and then you went 10-foot. The people really like those wider sidewalks.
They're getting a lot of use.
Yeah, they sure are.
And they were absolutely needed.
Yeah, no question.
Number two. The broken sidewalk on Midway, that was broken with the snowplow last year.
Matt Court.
It's on Midway.
No, it was on Matt Court.
Yeah. When are you going to fix that?
Tell you the truth, I forgot about it. Well, so I'll have to.
I went out and looked at it. It's about a 4. It's right on the corner. It's about a 4-foot piece.
That's in that cul-de-sac that we looked at.
It's that weird little.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's broken in 4 bad spots. It really needs to be, it's not that big a job. So if you could, they're
I'll driving, see it, I take care of it. It's the first time me, I forgot anything.
You're driving me crazy with it, okay?
Okay, I'll take care of it.
A whole bunch of women out there that are just pounding on me to get that fixed. So,
I think it's not just the women. I think you got both sides there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you know.
Right. Okay.
And you will take care of it.
Yeah, okay. I forgot about it completely. We looked at it this spring. Now, the other question that came up was the lights. We're still waiting to hear on what direction
well,
we're going on the lights.
There's several things on here, so just keep moving. Oh. The lights here on this one, though, you know, you can give us an update. These are about ready to go in, I think.
Yeah, the parts are coming in daily now, so it's amazing how many different shipments they can break it down into. So, but we haven't gotten the poles, so we're waiting on poles.
Because I think some of those, there was originally two or whatever there was, are going to go four now, it sounds like, Kevin, the same type of light.
Right.
Down below, okay.
Well, there's four here. They're built into the project.
Right.
Yeah, that was never a change.
Yeah.
So these ones are, these will be ready to go in soon. So, because the heads are there, like I say, the parts are there, they evidently had a problem.
Still waiting on.
Not sure of the supplier, but.
I'd like to say something. I'm really proud of this city. It is so beautiful, and all the work that all of you have done over the summer is just lovely, and I really appreciate it. It's just a joy to see, and I'm sure everybody else in McLean feels the same way, and I thank all of you for your hard work. It's beautiful, and I'm proud of each and every one of you. So thank you very much.
It does look good, and I think once you start to see more of it, some people won't get to this into town. But
well, that's the idea, was to slow them all down and keep them here shopping and buying.
It will have that effect when you get lights and the curbs there. It does have a little bit of a slowing down effect.
Especially
plus, they lowered the speed up each end anyway.
Now, if we get the sheriff to park a car right out there,
that'll slow them down.
That'll slow them all down.
Okay, so next was the Bi-Mart.
Bi-Mart.
And
thanks, Rick.
The Bi-Mart thing, we have some pictures there. This was another community project that came along. I'm not sure who did. Linda plant those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Linda did that.
That just wasn't a 20. She was done with that one in less than 20 years. This one she did for a year. Anyone that knows about flowers and things, one thing you can't do is that requires hand weeding.
Yes.
You know, if you have broadleaf stuff or if you have woody plants, you can spray different things, but a flower. There is no easy way to do that, and then of course as it starts to die off, it becomes a weed patch, and it looks dead. No one knows that there ever was a flower, and all the numerous things. And the county, of course, was spraying, and he went ahead and down the road, so you do see a little 3 foot. He thought it was weeds, I can understand the mistake. It's nothing that paralyzes the ground. I called and talked to him last week. So, we are going to, since Linda's done with that project, we're going to go ahead and sod that and grass that, so we'll have grass. And today at 5 o'clock is the deadlines. We got three bidders so far, all in South, all from here, S&S, Little River, and Deschutes Environmental. So, it's going to probably cost in the, since bids haven't closed or their requests, I won't say exactly, but let's just say, over 5 and under 10 is the range, and they'll have to adjust sprinklers though, but we're going to add a little crown, so we required a foot, so that adds contour.
Good.
And it's wider than you realize, and if it's just flat, it actually looks kind of odd. So you have to add some topsoil to give it a little contour. There's already trees down the middle, they're kind of hid because of the, and those will be there, the sprinkling system's in, and then we'll add that on, and ultimately, after this, you know, in most cities, the businesses there, they're required to mow those. That's in their ordinances. I'm not sure if our ordinances are there yet, but That is actually required in a lot of cases. So that, and then we'll add a street light too, which will come down to this whole street light thing, but that's where that's headed. I think the moral to the story, and you just heard it, and I said this to the council, though, just this is for the future, and always, it's hard, because you have to be kind of the not nicest person. What you found in this, and you found with the other one, other people are going to do things, and they come make presentations about, let us, it's a community group, take on this. And so what naturally do you say? Yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And this one, 24, less than 24 months later, well, now it's the city's.
Well, so, it was just wildflowers. It wasn't.
Yeah. It still looks better than what it did. So.
Yeah.
There's no argument. That's why I just understand that now that you, it's, I get it. But then if I'm an elected official, I have other people controlling my agenda. Stu wants some stuff down in front of Prairie House. You only have X amount of money. No one ever came in and said, does the city want to take this on mowing, watering, and maintaining? Because it came in as a volunteer project. So that's just that, just always, when you get excited about it, take part of the brain over here and say, yeah, well.
But don't we have a template now? Doesn't that figure in?
What do you mean?
I mean, isn't it all going to be
landscape? I'm getting specific. I'm just saying it could be the skate park. Others are donating
right.
it. You always think of, okay, when that group goes away,
what happens?
Because when I was out, I went out and toured the new motel with the owners, and the owners were there, the Prideys, and they marched me right out. Ken knows it. We talked right out to the ROTC, or not the ROTC, the forestry class at the high school to cut the trees, limbed up the trees.
In JOTC.
Yeah, ROTC. They don't turn the trees, so now it became more visible, and it looks nicer. No question, it looks nicer. Once it looks nicer and becomes more visible, the little triangle in front between McDonald's in front of the motel.
Oh,
it's BLM land.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little park.
Yes.
It's call it what you want. It's a park. But that park was, you mean, we had the, it was, the chamber took it, got an agreement from the BLM. Moral to the story was, Mrs. Pridey said, now, since it's cleaned up and visible, the amount of garbage is quadrupled. So she said, now we, because it's a stop, tourists will stop and people
mm-hmm.
will hang out in there. So she said, now we are out there daily picking up garbage. So she said, who is going to start providing garbage service at this? Now it's a landlocked park, ODOT on this side, private property on this side, Gordy on this side. It is 100% landlocked. The city of Lapine have no public entity has access except a no parking lane on Highway 97. So, and I told her, I said, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. So now, does the city, again, it's that you didn't do anything, but then you become the catch-all or the drop-off. And so now, do we go put two or three roll carts in there that we pay Wilderness Garbage to dump on a weekly basis? And then, of course, then once you put in garbage, does use drop or increase?
Increases.
Oh, it
use,
does.
Use increases. Now you got cars parking and people trespassing and going all over.
And emptying their car stuff, they're bringing garbage in.
Yeah. So right now we're just at the standstill there. But, you know, that's, so you start, and then you just heard of the triangle part or the welcome thing. See, again, it's yours. Here's the paperwork. So, just in the future, always be thinking about, you
long-term.
Know, because long-term
mm-hmm.
stuff. Today I got an email, Stu, I sent you a copy, of someone already complaining about the fountain and the skate park. Well, it came in, you know, people don't know, they send it in on our system because, we're,
mm-hmm.
you know, the public has no clue. And, you know, you have kids hanging out around the fountain, some of the kids smoke around the fountain, And then we had one last week because the kids are littering. I see we got a garbage can there, but no one had put a garbage can in yet. Well, again, it's a group working with the Parks District. Nobody thinks through all of the issues that come with stuff. So.
But just because you put a garbage can in doesn't mean the garbage is going to end up in the can.
There's no question about that. But you do have to provide it. So when you put a fountain out, clear out by the road, and you put a skate park next to it, common sense tells you different things come with that. And the fact that do you think that kids are going to congregate around that fountain? Of course. And do you think that some of those kids are going to smoke? Of course. So that all needs to be understood fully when you build these things. You know, I don't know that there's anything bad going on there. You know, this is just an observation. Somebody sent us an email complaint.
But when somebody comes to the city or us or, you know, and makes a proposal like this, don't make a rash decision and say, yes, we'll take it. Think it through and then come back and say, well, what about this, this, and this?
You really should, I think. Always ask those tougher questions and think of the long term and understand that probably, you know, who's going to be taking care of it long term. Yeah. So, but that one, so we will go ahead and grass it because then we can hire it out, get it mowed, and it'll look good.
Suggestion. See a sidewalk right there?
Mm-hmm.
That should be replaced before it gets really bad or somebody trips on something.
Yeah.
It looks like it's sunk on that long crack. It looks like it's sunk in, cracked the rest of it.
We can look at that. Those are everywhere.
Yeah, but that would be the city. If somebody gets hurt, they know where they're going to go.
Well, actually, I have to dig into our codes. Sidewalk repair in every city is actually the responsibility of the property owner.
Yeah, to see what's going on.
And that's the complaint that what's his name came in about the snowplow driving over the sidewalk.
Right.
Remember, he said we have to replace them. That I mean, you can make Bymark do it actually.
But it should be done.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're everywhere.
Oh yeah, that's typical here.
They're everywhere.
Now, just so I understand you, the wildflowers are gone.
Yep.
Grass is going to be where
yep.
grass.
Yeah.
What's going to happen on the edge there when they come by and spray for the bugs again? Going to kill all the grass or what?
Oh, you mean the county?
Yeah.
Oh, he won't spray grass.
He won't do that anymore.
Oh, no.
We'll ask him real nice to not do that. We'll ask him real nice not to do that.
Yeah, he'll know it's grass. He couldn't tell it wasn't weeds.
I know.
That's one thing as far as the sidewalk in front of the senior center is every time the parade is going through, got all the trucks that back right up on top of that, where they used to, that's where they used to back right in.
Well, they need to stay behind it.
What I'm saying is it's just something to be aware of. And
yeah, hopefully people aren't parking over the top of the sidewalks.
See, Rick, I think there's one other issue there, the irrigation from the senior center. We're going to have somebody slip and fall because they're overspraying quite a section of that sidewalk and everything sloped to the ditch.
At the senior center? What are they spraying?
They're irrigating.
Water.
There.
Water. Well, I don't know. What is it that's all?
Well, they've got just some natural, there's some grass, a bunch of stuff. There's an irrigation system all along that whole sidewalk, and part of it is overspraying.
Okay,
I think we're going to end up with an issue.
Well, no, they
it gets cold.
They have to get, they'll yeah. have to do a drip system yeah. to trees or to whatever it yeah. is they're watering, because I didn't really notice when I've been there, I didn't know what you'd be irrigating. Because it...
Weeds.
I mean, it doesn't look like, I mean, I...
It's just natural.
Well, it's natural, then let it be natural.
Well, they're keeping it green. It's not like Ben where you pull under and put everything on fire, but you pull off the road, so...
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to have a drip system or adjust their sprinkler or something. Huh. Good to know. I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay, item number 8, Huntington Road Sidewalk Lighting Project.
That's Russell. Mr. Russell again, just to give an update. We got some pictures just to show you. Vic, you want to come back up? You're just for show and tell.
Beautiful work, Rick.
Right here. Go back one. our engineer, this guy wire has a potential to be a problem. And hopefully that's what will be dealt with. He was going to follow through, and I've yet to hear anything. But that's low enough, somebody could
get. They have to do a cross brace.
Or go back and hook it on this other guy wire here, or there's several things that can be.
So that's Ben Broadband?
Yes.
So did you contact
Jim him? Frost was taking care of all of that.
Okay.
So it's just something that needs to be not forgotten. And then back on the rest of this, I haven't seen, I've briefly seen the new proposal for the lights, because you're going to add a few more lights. So.
Yeah.
And Kevin's going to, he's yet to schedule that with me, but that's coming up this week or next, so we can get busy and get those in. And then the power, I don't know where the power's coming from, because we're going to have to decide that, because we're going to be cutting some roads.
Well, Kevin's giving me a price for their installations and all that, so I guess so
Is he born under the road then, or?
Without him, I'm not going to get into the detail of that.
Well, we talked about coming off your mom's, the transformer to the south of Bymart. So there'd be a road crossing there, and I'd recommend that have Vic cut the road and patch it.
It's probably the chief talks to Kevin. Kevin's working it.
We'll address all that when we meet on site then.
But you can see, I mean, it's good. So that goes down to Crescent Creek, and there's people using it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use that.
See, that sidewalk overspray is back this way, basically where the concrete and the asphalt.
Oh, you're down at Little Deschutes
Lodge, yeah.
Not the seniors.
Yeah, Little Deschutes Lodge.
Oh, okay, I was kind of figuring.
They're all seniors to me.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I was gonna say that there's no irrigation in front of the senior center. There's no water
out there. There's a lodge, though. There's a senior.
Yeah, that guy, when I was out taking the pictures, he was already using it. But it looks very nice. And so, then, yeah, there will be lights along several places along there. And we where there's concrete, you'll have the decorative pole. And then once you switch the asphalt, it's off the wooden pole. So that's kind of your city-rural kind of transition.
The only thing I would have done different, I wouldn't have put that state spec rock in there. I'd have put the commercial grade in there because it looks more natural and holds up there for future. It's good shoulder material, and it's a.
What's the difference between a state spec rock?
Color.
Color. The Forest Service spec stuff that we have, the commercial is a. It's got natural pines in it. This is all manufactured pines from the rock, and it's a. There's a difference. It's dirty rock. A lot of people buy this. They like the gray. But the dirty rock is
that'll kind of blend in over time. We don't kind of fall away. That's good to
just a better shoulder material.
You have to put the yellow thing, and that's for the ADA stuff. And you put those on each.
And those aprons that was broken before, somebody asked about. That's those trucks, in those ADAs when those trucks come in, those big trucks. That's what's breaking those.
Trying to go around the corner.
Uh-huh.
And we got fixed up.
We replaced all of that from that one. That was a little change on the job there, and that made sense.
Yeah, that turned out real nice.
So yeah, that project, I think people, that's the one you should be proud of. So people truly can walk.
The Crescent Creek are really pleased.
Yeah.
Can ride on it. So we're now connected clear to Crescent Creek.
Well, the Deschutes is very happy, but there are a lot of handicap there that now they can get downtown without going on the road.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, this was needed.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it is the responsibility of the property owner to maintain the sidewalks in the winter free from ice and snow, right?
Yes.
So Little Deschutes Lodge has got to take care of the asphalt, and the senior center's got to take care of the concrete.
Technically, yes.
That's right.
Okay. Have they been informed accordingly?
What's that?
Have they been informed accordingly?
No.
They will be.
They have not. We can work up a letter, Ashley.
Yeah.
Get our code. We can show the ordinance and everything,
One of the things that need to be addressed, and if that's the case, they need to seal that concrete every fall, every year, to get life out of it. And it's a simple, inexpensive thing to do. Because it'll...
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
So otherwise, we're going to lose all that beautiful concrete in another 5 years.
Okay, we're done with item 8.
On to item 9, Morrison Street, 4th Street Prairie House Project.
Well, and George is here, he's here for something else, but George can come up and point to that, some of the things they've looked at. This is, Stu brought this up and has a considerable amount of passion over this topic. When it was brought up, the request is a light, but mostly it was the crosswalk, and about where that white, just down from the white vehicle that's parked there. The trouble, the reason, and well, George, you can say, why is it that just in general, forgetting this location, you look at something, what the county's position, it's a county road.
Yeah.
So.
And we, Chris Doty and I, he's a department director, we went out and looked at it. And you know, my first initial concern was you got a crosswalk really going to no other sidewalk or anything like that. That was a concern I had. I actually, in Bend, I noticed the Skyline Ranch Road and Skyliners Road, they actually have crosswalks that just go across the street. There's no sidewalk, terminates in gravel. Couple things on this one that we want to look at is it would probably have to go from here. It's going to have to almost stick out into this driveway because there's no handicap ramp or anything there. And it'll have to, we were going to center it on the radius right here. Issue you've got, this parking spot would have to go away, and probably one or two here because someone's going to be hidden when they go out into that crosswalk. The thing that we, what concerns me the most with the crosswalk is people get a false sense of security with them. They think crosswalk, I can just go across, cars will stop. So we're looking at it. We'll get back to Rick with our recommendation. We have to put signs in. You've got a full parking lot here. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to put a sign in the asphalt, which can be done. You've got parking. You know, I think it can be done, but we have to look at it. And the concern I've got is I want to make sure there's no liability issues. So if we put it in, there's an accident, the county can get sued or the city can get sued. So we're looking at it. We'll come up with a plan on it. It's not an ideal situation because you'd like to have a handicap ramp over here. You're going to have them basically going across this driveway, getting in and going across, and you've got people turning in and out of there. So it's not an ideal situation.
This isn't free, this is for Rick.
Well, it kind of concerns you. In future building of sidewalks in this town, let's not get into the same thing that Ben did where they got behind times on the ADA sidewalks. I think we need to inform people that when they start building a sidewalk, when it comes to a corner, it's got to be ADA accessible.
Well, that would be required now. These are probably all prior.
You know, it's interesting, though, because we had a sidewalk project. This was a long time ago in Bend, where we built the sidewalks. We put the levels on them. They were right on the money. Went through winter, had frost heaves. The ramp was out of compliance until the frost heave went away, and it was back in compliance.
That's uncontrollable.
Yeah. We know that there are certain people that don't.
Yeah.
Well, now, see, these things will come, since the city has our own planning, it will come in here, and those are the kind of things we would review and work with the county to make sure that we have, you know, all of the right stuff on.
Starting from where the parking lot entrance is that lines up with another cross street or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like that's just asphalt across there, and in front of the church it's just asphalt. See, now it would be concrete sidewalks. You don't get to pave your sidewalk.
You know, this whole area here right now would have concrete curb. It would have approaches in. It's solid asphalt all the way across.
So that's to let you know we're working on it. They're working on it, and you know, hopefully this next spring we can. You know, I don't think it'll be out there for winter, but anyway, bottom line is sometime, you know, we'll come up with something that can work. And then we can, there's a couple of wooden power poles there. We can string up a couple street lights just to kind of light that right there. You know, in our street light type money is we're to finish up the ones on Morrison and every, or I mean out on Burt Huntington, you know, that's about $15,000. It's a decorative light. Now that Mid-State's been doing these now enough, we're talking for them to install them, you know, put the concrete in, all the things required to hold them, and buy it all is about $4,800. I just, or $4,600, I saw $5,000. So every time you add one, that's the capital cost. Now the monthly cost then is $15 a month. But so you start adding these, and even off the power poles, they've gotten, I just got an estimate out there, like where there's actually existing poles, the cheapest one I've got is $1,100. You know, so actually $600 if they got a pole, a wooden pole.
The transformer.
If everything's right there, then the problem we run into a lot of times there might be a pole, but it's not the kind of voltage you need. It depends.
You got to add a transformer, and you got to run secondary wire, so it gets expensive.
Yeah. So this idea of sprinkling street lights everywhere is, you know, so this Huntington project will spend our street light money and beyond for this budget year. So, you know, we're done until next July. And the budget, you know, in the past we always had extra money you could move around, but now as we are tightening things, because we're actually like doing sidewalks and stuff, before, you know, we just had big pots of money. But now it's more, it's itemized down to things. So therefore, you do not have the flexibility. We cannot just go spend $10,000 or $20,000 more just because you, if someone comes in and asks you, put it on the list and over time figure it out. Because we just, you know, we're like other entities, we have to prioritize.
Just because we're doing things, we spend money.
Yeah. So.
Well, you can itemize it into the next budget.
Well, except you got to wait till the next budget process.
Right. Then just, yes. People just have to understand that. But you do put it on for it. It's typical of every government, it takes time. If you don't have the money, you can't do it. You got to wait till you get the money, then you do the project. But you put it in order of importance, and when you get money, you do it.
Yeah. No, so for if there's existing wooden poles here, for $1,000, we could add a couple lights.
They're not.
They're on this side. They're not where you would want them, but you can.
They stop about 200 feet from the road, so.
That's a long reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got photos of it all. We've been out and looked at them. So, but there are some poles. And, you know, again, we would, you know, try to figure something out. And if there isn't a pole, the wooden pole. Now, if you just sink a wooden pole, then you know you're more into it for $1,800. So, and that, you know, makes a difference. And over there, you wouldn't do the decorative poles because there's no sidewalk. I mean, there's nothing to go with it yet. That's got to become part of a whole project, which will be years and years and years down the road. There'd be no way to fund that. So, is there, you know? Are you guys, what's your thought on this whole crossing? You know, I'm assuming you're supportive of trying to get one there, working with the county to, you know, just to get a crosswalk in, stripe it. And,
yeah. Is that, well, it's going to cost money.
Well, the county maybe will paint it. That, I mean, it's going to be a low budget type. I mean, we're not going to be putting out flashing lights.
Okay. You just answered my question.
I mean, Morrison, the traffic on Morrison is, you know, and it's a lower volume, lower, you know, and it's, I mean, under no, regardless of what someone lives on their things, under no circumstances is that a high volume road. I mean, you can
but
put a counter
on there.
But
eventually it's going, I mean, wasn't that going to be one of our...
The realignment with Finley Butte to...
But you're talking a decade or more.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah.
I think the wooden pole with the light would be more than satisfactory for now.
Yeah, and that's what we might have to do, sink one at that intersection where the crosswalk is, or something around that area to...
Or even the fiberglass ones are...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the same as the wood.
We can do a fiberglass, so it looks a little better right there. As a, you know, it might last a decade till we, something else happens.
Is that it for the Morrison Street and 4th Street?
Yeah.
1st Street signalization project update.
Well, I'll let Scott kind of talk about it. Eric, you can come up, you can introduce yourself since you're just here today, but both of you. Eric, we hired, since you guys have been on vacation for a few months, 1st Street, what we quickly found, some of you mentioned they liked the white sidewalks. Well, it was after Scott and I had a meeting here at that table with ODOT came down about a month ago, and they kind of were like, they're ready to go out and bid it, put your stamp on it. And they were kind of laying out what they had done, and they shrunk those sidewalks back to 5 feet. And so, you know, we've talked many times here about that they were going to be the sevens. And so, and it was because it was going to cost them a couple hundred grand to deal with water, because they needed the width for the bioswale. And so if you make a wider sidewalk, you had less width for the bioswale. So they didn't want to have to pipe it off, so they shrunk the sidewalk again. And that's when we told them that wasn't acceptable. And I ultimately called Bob Ryan, the boss of the whole region, and talked to him. And they said, we'll work on it. They were out the next day, I think, re-looking at it. So it became obvious that with these ODOT projects, we don't have anyone looking out for us that's an engineer. And they're all talking engineer speak, and, you know, these lessons we learned with the grout, all those little things. And this is going to be $1.5 million ODOT project, and we could get lost in this. So Eric, we called Eric. He'd been coming to some of the meetings, and he's been working for the City of Sisters, and they just did a big sidewalk project, and he's their engineer of record. And he has a private company, though, because he's just part-time with Sisters. So anyway, we hired Eric quickly. And Eric has already attended a couple of meetings for us, and there's one tomorrow or the next day. And so why don't you guys give him an update of where you think all of this is?
Well, yeah, that's the part that I've been working on, is the utility conflicts, the water and sewer lines in the area, and how ODOT's design is impacting those. And it went from having to move 3 or 4 fire hydrants at, you know, $2,500 a piece or something, to having to move hundreds of feet of water and sewer line at hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece. And like Rick said, it was time that we needed somebody on our side. Eric's done a really good job on that. I think we're getting narrowed down to where they're redesigning things to not impact us. In fact, I think ODOT's working really hard to redesign things with Eric to not have too much of an impact on the city of LaPlante.
Yeah, there were, with the new stormwater design, with the wider sidewalks and the need for a larger swale, there was need for more piping. One of the pipes would cross 1st Street, and then that pipe that would cross 1st Street would then impact the water and sewer mains that are in 1st Street, cause them to be relocated, so it'd have a domino effect going down, which would cost a lot of money. So we're working to make that crossing on 1st Street with the storm main not impact the water main, not impact the sewer main, not have any cost to the city associated with that. That's the main thing. And then we also noticed that they set the traffic signal pole directly on top of the water main. So we're working to get that traffic signal pole put in a different location, so it's not going to cause the city to have to relocate that water main. Because with LaPine, because the right-of-way is not owned by the city, the ODOT will not use their funds to pay for the relocation of any utilities. It would all come from the city. So anything that would be impacted would be on the city to make those relocations. So the whole idea is to eliminate all of those relocations. The only things that are going to be required when we're done with this is moving fire hydrants and they're just resetting those fire hydrants, so it's not a major move, just getting them out of the street, out of the sidewalk. And then the other thing I'm working on is coordinating getting some light poles put in on the project that would benefit the city, as well as work on the addition of some landscape in the swale areas so that they're not just rock swales.
I noticed we have a lot of water standing there by Little D Technology on the corner. It looks like there's three test spots.
That's going to be on discussed here in a minute.
Okay.
That's a whole type of topic.
Thank you.
I'm sure that's a separate topic.
Yeah, I think, you know, the good thing, Gary Farnsworth, who's the regional manager, the Central Oregon manager, he called, said, hey, I want to separate out kind of the landscaping piece of it to go ahead and get the thing bid. So they're, I don't know if it's out for bid or will be in October or November, but they're going to get the thing bid. Then after it's being bid, we'll work, finalize more of the landscaping. And he said they may try to find some money to help us pay for the landscaping. So
I'm just concerned about the piping to the bio swales, because we sand a lot around here, and that plugs those pipes up. And that used to be my job with Lane County, to clean a lot of those out. And it can be very time consuming.
Well, you know, one thing about ODOT, they take the stormwater design very seriously, and all of their pipes are a minimum of 18 inches in diameter, so they're all very, very large.
They use metal or poly?
They don't specify in the plan, so it's up to the contractor to determine the material that's used. So there are several materials that can be used.
They probably have clean out ways to get into those and flush them.
Yeah, there are.
They should all have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're using less of the sender and they're using more on the other stuff. And as you will find inside the city limits, just kind of from this end to that end, you will find in like Redmond, other places, they reduce the sender because A, your speeds are slower, and the sender causes so many other troubles. They do other things. You're not out on the highway at 60 miles an hour. You're, you know, much less. But yeah, the sender, you know, we'll get some sender into our grass and all of it. But the plan is that this thing, they're going to open and try to get this thing going starting next March, I believe, March, April, and then be done in October. I mean, it'll be done and ready for next winter. That's like the basic timeline. And they did end up finding the 200 grand to pipe the, like the estimate was 200,000, so they are going to pipe the water. So out in front of the Taco Bell right there, that's a bunch of public land, so they're going to end up with a bigger, call it a big bioswale, that will hold a pond that will hold the water, so it'll be piped. Since we made them widen the sidewalks, they'll pipe the excess water over there, and that will become a pond. Then we got a landscape around that, so it doesn't look like, you know, a dried up lake. So any
do we
questions?
We end up fencing around any of these big bioswales or ponds?
No.
Okay.
They don't fence them.
Not unless they're more than 4 feet deep and these aren't.
Okay. Mosquito control.
Yeah. No, I think but it will look good. It's going to be exciting. And I think having Eric represent us, I mean, just the thing is, we could have spent 100 or 200 grand on moving pipes, because if we're out there, like, how do we know to make it? And so, and actually, it's easier for ODOT. I think one of their frustrations was, you know, you got to have people that are engineers talking to engineers, because they know how they talk. And with his experience in Sisters, and I was just there over the weekend, and, you know, that certainly looks nice, and they're still working on things, but water doesn't appear to be standing. Water's moving. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
So... Did you want to bring George back?
Yeah, George.
Maybe before we even talk about other issues of concerns. And this is getting water off of Huntington Road, I'm assuming.
I think Lake Lapine.
Lake Lapine.
The road department, we went and surveyed the intersection of 3rd Street and Huntington, where you have the pretty bad drainage issue. Put together a set of plans and specs, worked a lot with Scott. He really helped us out, potholing utilities and such. Went out to bid in August, and actually Vic Russell got the contract. We will be putting in an 18-inch collection pipe from basically the intersection of 3rd and Huntington down 3rd into that slough area.
Going west.
What's that?
Going west.
Going west. Yeah. It was really kind of the only way we could go with that water.
Yeah.
So Vic is talking construction starting probably end of September, right around there. You know, I've worked with Tom. We had a couple conflicts with power that, you know, we had to put through a manhole. There's a lot of utilities out there. We potholed as many as we could. I think we got them. We'll find out when we dig. But the completion date on it is October 30th. So we're putting in, and I've got a set of plans that I brought. I got to take them back with me if anybody wants to see them after the meeting. But we're putting in about 6-7 inlets.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it should be done this year.
I know that the fire department out there has a problem with drainage also. I mean, that isn't part of this.
Well, no. And actually, some of the things we've looked at in that intersection was trying to pipe it north to the swale that's already in that intersection. And then we talked to the fire department. And what we were going to do, they were actually going to said we could use their property, put a swale they could tie their driveways in, or their parking lots into. The problem is the grade is so flat in this town that it'd be a flat pipe. And if you don't have the grade that you need to keep the water flowing, he's got a lot of pipes he's got to clean out because the sediment will settle in. So we looked at that. We looked at the fire department. We actually looked. There's an existing pipe. I'm not sure it works. But it's on Huntington, and it goes down 4th Street to the slough area. And we're going to be working on that one, too, to see if we have to clean it out. We'd look to tying into that. That's only an 8-inch pipe. So that would have been near, it doesn't make sense to put an 18 into an 8. So the best solution was to go right down 3rd Street, right when you get to the bottom of the hill. That's where we're going to run the water off into the slough area.
Knocking off a lot of issues one by one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, public work. I mean, the city really, if you look at what the public wants and that we will be providing is public work stuff. And then, you know, lighting up, building sidewalks, and taking care of drainage issues.
And as part of this job, too, we're going to fix those. There's like 2 or 3 handicap ramps there in that intersection that are in bad shape. You know, there's one where the water always sits that we're doing. I think 2 or 3 ramps, rebuilding them, and probably striping crosswalks.
I'm just going to ask you about the sidewalks, especially where a little deep technology, that is just a mess because of the water standing in all the time.
Yeah, let's get this fixed. We're out of sidewalk money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, it's going to have to be done sometime. It doesn't have to be done there right now.
Well, actually, that building owner.
There's not any water there anymore.
How much was the bid on that?
We're about $245,000, $265,000 right now. $245,000.
What about standing water by the post office?
That was going to be an issue I was going to raise.
Yeah.
Well, we've looked at that. And what we would do on that one is we would run it from the post office, we'd run it across Huntington to the east side and then run a pipe down, tie it into one of the inlets that was put in as part of the signal project that would then take it into the swale in front of the fire department. But the problem again is grade, and that would be pretty much a flat pipe. So, you know, it's funding and such, but we'd looked at either that, or we'd actually also looked at could you put a swale in on the Bi-Mart land.
Right.
And you know, if you had a swale in front of Bi-Mart, you could possibly pipe that water into that swale. Mm-hmm. That was another thought.
Could you reduce a parking spot there in front of the post office and build a swale right there?
That area right behind it, we actually thought about that. We looked at that, but that's, again, private, so you'd have to get a drainage easement from Bi-Mart. I think at the post office, right behind the manhole, that's, I think, in the public right-of-way. But, you know, they have landscaping. That would be another thing that could be done is you just dig a swale and put a cut in a curb or a little inlet and pump
it. Yeah, I think what you're saying, you notice the commonality analysis, we kind of have to create these little holding things where this stuff is, and then you do take it in small bites.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And then every once in a while, if we have a piece of public land or you buy a little strip, you could put you know, a little bit of both, but because it's so flat, this idea of piping things a block or two doesn't work. So you're going to just have these kind of all over. And when we ever, if we did a streetscape, I think part of the thing if with urban renewal, say if we do a block of streetscape, you would build in some of these things and be able to, would build in some swales.
And we're actually working with DEQ now. We're going to be, they're going to be permitting our UICs, underground injection wells. So we'll be working in Lapine trying to figure out what do we do with the drywalls in Lapine. Because a lot of those drywalls are actually in the groundwater when it gets the groundwater so shallow. So this permit will basically outline what the county has to do with the inlets in Lapine, be it treatment, do you close them and buy property and do swales. There's a couple studies we have to do on wells, time of travel from private wells and things like that. So we'll probably get the permit, I'm thinking, in 2015, and that's going to kind of give us direction on what we do.
That's on your existing ones that you have spread.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because we, quite a while back, we said no more dry wells in Lapine. We quit putting curb and we quit putting dry wells in because we could kind of see the writing on the wall. Luckily, we did that.
We did that in Lane County a number of years ago. I've been retired for 8 years and we did it before that.
Yep. I bet we did it in 2000, 2001, right around there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're eliminating the pipe going from the post office to the one that exists at the corner?
Well, that's an option for doing that.
If that's an option, why don't you take the pipe that's on the post office side and just go right up to the corner because there's a drain right there. That way you don't have to cross the road.
We've looked at that. I think there were some issues with utilities.
Oh, you thought it was in the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were just trying to save you some.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No. And I still think it would be nice if you could get it to either a swale at Bimarters or on the
right.
If you work at the post office, you said that, you know, right where the water sits, right behind it is that curb.
Uh-huh. I know these swales aren't always beautiful, but there is a little area out front where all those trees are in Bimart. Could you put a swale there?
That was the other one we'd looked at. Yeah.
Well, we're just getting ready to grass the big swale.
The ideal thing would be to put it right behind the spot on the post office property because you're not having to pipe anything. Because anytime you put a pipe under the road, you got to have it deep enough, you know, below the surface of the road. Well, that makes your swale awful deep on the other side. If you have it right behind the post office, you dig a swale and you can either make a curb cut or put an inlet in with an open face and it'll just drain right into there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did that at the corner there where it goes into that swale by the fire department headquarters. You can see how deep that is.
Yeah. That one we had because we did that as part of the signal project.
Right.
We had to go deep on that in order to get the flow from our
traffic center over the pipes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Now, those take up some land when you do the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Okay, while you're still sitting there, George, how about the pavement in front of Midsway, the little, right in front of Midstate, going into the industrial park.
But is there something wrong with that?
It's all broken up.
Okay. And that's in front of the, on Midsway?
It's right in front of Midstate. It's from the little subdivision cul-de-sac right there. All the people there have two or three cars and they're parking out there on
that's one we want for.
I don't know, maybe Chris or Tom, I've been dealing with that one. I think they've been talking about allowing him to fill the swales up to park.
Well, no, this is right.
He's on the main road, but they do have their extra cart out there. It's again, those examples are everywhere. It's just because he works in Midstate, so. You know.
Pavement's all broken up real bad there.
Yeah, that cul-de-sac right there. What's that called? Do you rent anything in there? It's all duplex.
Oak Ridge Place. Are you talking
Shopline?
Shopline. Those are all the rental properties.
Yes.
The townhomes. Oh yeah. I don't have any there. Okay.
I just took last week a person interviewing for a planner, and we went over and looked at that. I take anyone over there to show the the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, you go show Crescent Creek, and then you got to go show that particular street. That's Chris and I walked that street. I mean, we got out of the car, we walked that. His boss, Chris Doty, and they're very aware of it. It goes back to, you know, you sound like a broken record, but it's the faulty design standard. Of course, George, I don't know what your design, but. We built them to fail, and they're exceeding their expectations.
Straight
out. You know, you've got, in that case, you've got duplexes. There's like eight of them in there or something like that. You have eight duplexes. They probably are three-bedroom duplexes.
They are.
And you have one single-car garage in each. Well, of course, you know that rentals tend to be loft and shared roommates. So now I've got three-bedroom apartment or duplex. So I have six in a duplex, six bedrooms, with two single-car garages. We know that those will be full of stuff. That's just a given. So now if I've got three people living in all single-type people, roommate-type deals, we have six cars with this duplex. We've given a parking for two. And then you multiply that by six, and that's what, you go in there, there are cars everywhere. And there was no off-street parking given, no on-street parking, because in the bioswales. Of course, where are they parking? In the bioswales. Those bioswales have long been filled in for the most part, and then a lot of those old 4x4 these guys have got in there, they're just down in them, and you know, and then, yeah, it's quite a deal. But we, in the future now, believe me, and that's one of the things I was talking to our planner, it's, and I mentioned Eric, but we have to have a design standard that will not allow, we have to go to more of a traditional curb with parking, on-street parking, and or the subdivision has to provide some areas that can allow it. We have to make them move the houses back. The next problem is the garage ability, or the when you pull up, and you've got to park a foot from the garage because you walk when you get out of your car. Well, then when I do that, my F-150, let alone the 250, guess where it is? It's over the sidewalk with the trailer hitch. Because you can't physically get a Ford F-250 parked between the garage and the sidewalk. Yeah, it's impossible. The trucks are longer than we give. And see, other communities, they will say, no, the setback has to be 5 more feet. But these guys that want to build cheap subdivisions, well, then that pushes the house back 5 more feet, but there's setbacks in the back, too. Well, that means they have to make the lot another 500 feet bigger. Well, guess what? They don't like that. So those are all the, you know, all of the things that happened in during the boom here with all these subdivisions. Everyone's excited to grow. I'll bet a lot of you were out cutting ribbons, although you weren't a city yet. But I mean, you know, everyone was excited. I've been there, you know, gosh, new subdivisions, guys can put 50 lots back here, 100 lots back here, but unfortunately there were no standards.
And I really think what the city should do is have an actual engineering study done on what do you need for pavement, base and pavement depth, because your soils are different here than they are in Bend, and I really think that's why you're getting cracking, is I don't think you have the structure in your existing soil. Where you know, 2 and 6, which works in Bend, 2 inches of asphalt and 6 inches of base, which works in Bend, probably doesn't work here with your soils. I think
there's
more
softer in the top.
More pummy. So I think
we don't have the rock 2 feet down like you guys do.
Right. So I think you'd want to get that soil, do a test on it. That'll determine, okay, for this traffic, local roads, we need, you know, maybe you need 3 and 8 on a local.
I was just going to say 3 and 8 would be better in my mind, because you got all these heavy trucks going in for construction in the beginning.
Well, that's the problem you run into on subdivisions, is when you build it as a local road, but you got concrete trucks, you know, all the building trucks, all the heavy trucks coming in, and that's what chews them up.
And then going to the industrial park there, even though there's nothing in there yet.
No.
You know, a lot of heavy trucks from mid-state as well as...
I think the industrial park, they did 3 and 8 in there. I think that was heavier than
one. You can tell where the road started into the industrial park and where it came off Finley Butte in that section. And that's where all the breakage is happening.
Yeah.
Right.
It's right along the edge where people are driving off to the park.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you can have 4 inches of asphalt and they'll break the edge of that. of that asphalt. It just...
Well, yeah, that's why the curb gives you a concrete edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Either curb and gutter or just straight.
Curb and gutter gives you an edge.
Yeah.
And that's why everything's breaking off. There's no edge. So then when they roll into those vinyl swales, yeah, or pull off,
yep,
it does that. So your long-term cost to the city, the developers save money, but the long-term cost to the entity, whether it's the county or the city,
yep,
go up. And that's what we're faced. And the cost of trying to ever fix those is...
But it's interesting that the issues I'm seeing with pavement here in Alpine, I'm not seeing in subdivisions in Bend, in the county. So it's got to be your soil. It just has to be looked at and a design done.
But concrete, and we've got subdivisions that have been abandoned, and the concrete is just moosh now. I mean,
yeah,
it's, what, isn't that the pour? Are they using a different mixture?
There's a lot of things that can go wrong with concrete. You can get a good example of concrete gone bad is the railroad bridge right before you go into Sun River. And that has to do with, there's a name for it, I can't think of it right now, but it's there's a silica, there's a reaction in the aggregate, and it just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
It just falls apart. Yeah, if you ever go to Sun River to look at the railroad bridge, you
oh,
can
we
go
don't
and
have
you just
to,
pick
we
it
can
off.
Just go right here on Carter
so
Court.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
Not the amount of concrete that's going into the mix. It's the
material.
Well, you also have a difference in temperature down here versus,
yep,
if you
pour concrete and it freezes or it's cold, it's not going to cure and it'll come apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, you look at Crescent Creek
mm-hmm,
is not having most of these issues, and they were all built about the same time,
yeah,
Huntington Meadows and Crescent Creek. And so that goes back to demographics of the types of homes. All those houses, you can put your trucks in the driveways,
yeah,
because they have larger lots. The houses sit back a little further. They have double car garages, then, which means you have double car in front of the garage, and they're not as many rentals, so people don't have as many cars. And so when you drive Crescent Creek, you will barely find a car out in front anywhere.
It's not allowed.
Right.
They have the police. They have their own police.
But I mean, they're not off parked other some weird place. They
no.
just, it's a different, and so you can have subdivisions.
And they're really tight. Some of those cottages are 8 feet from the wall of the other house. It's a little,
yeah,
zero lot line. But, and they have little pull-out spaces out in front where you can, but nobody parks in the swales. And I mean, they sign CC&Rs and they stick by them.
Yeah.
And because they're fine if they're not, if they don't.
And you know, fortunately, most of our growth will probably come out in that new, called the new neighborhood area.
Right.
That's where Alpine will grow. I mean,
and that's where you have the opportunity.
I think that you'll fill out these subdivisions, but really as far as new subdivisions being built out, call it on the east side, probably if you're a planner and you're looking out, you know, that's a finite number of lots and years your growth is going to be. And if you think about it from a planning standpoint, what's on this side of town, what's on this side? Railroad tracks and industrial park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This side is schools, parks, libraries.
New sidewalks to
so
downtown.
You want your people to where they don't have to cross the highway. You don't
right.
want your 10-year-olds and 5-year-olds crossing Highway 97. So this side truly is more industrial in nature, commercial in nature, maybe had some high density, but then they have to cross you. They don't want high density apartments and stuff. So over time, you won't see as much growth, obviously, on this side of town. You'll have the problems you've got.
Rick, Sun River's got a model that's worked since the beginning. They don't have curbs. They have a few drainage issues when we have these unique storms like
mm-hmm.
this year, but there's no parking on the streets, permit only. And they have a lot of the same issues we have, only they police it.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
Curbs create other problems here.
They do.
So you got to weigh, there's a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. You could do it without curbs. I think it's just when you get the approval, you need to figure out how we're taking care of water and where people park.
If you have, if you're widening an existing street, you run into problems with your curb because it's so flat, you can't determine where's your opening to get the water through. When you have new roads, then you can design those roads to drain to your curb openings because you want to have swales on the other side, and you can make your water go where you want it. That's what we ran into, like Finley Butte or Foss. They'd have to line it out 2-3 feet and put in curb, and I mean, you'd look at it, and there's no way, it's flat. Yeah. You'd have your water trapped against that curb. That's why we got rid of the curb and went to swales.
Well, when they did the industrial part, you know, they put in the catch basins and yeah. they did some drainage.
Drain pipes
to some shallow underground drainage yep. wells, because the issue to me, DEQ and these dry wells, is a depth issue, because we're throwing everything in a 4 or 5 foot swale. It's no different than putting it in a dry well 4 or 5 foot deep.
Yeah.
Except by definition of DEQ.
All those in the business park are injection wells.
And
that's what I asked them. I said, what's the difference between a ditch 3 feet deep and a slotted pipe 3 feet deep?
Not much.
And they said, well, it's an injection well.
The frost level.
Yeah.
And then yep. that works.
Well, we can come up with it. A design can be made that can handle the water and plan for these things. But we just have to work with those developers right. when you do it. Because there are ways to do it. But I think the key is just understand how people are actually going to live. And the developer will tell you how they're going to live. But then you have to realize how people are going to live.
A question for you.
Sure.
Lake Lapine project. When exactly is that going to start?
End of September.
Yeah. When?
End of September.
End of September.
Yep.
What's that, about a 30-day job?
Yeah. The completion date's October 30th.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions for George while he's here? Crucify him.
Thank you.
Thanks, George. Thanks, George. Thanks for all the work on those projects. That's yeah. a lot.
Yeah, thanks for working with us, and especially Scott on the storm rubber. We have them digging holes all over that place.
Oh. I didn't get most of it.
Don't worry. Other issues or concerns? Public comments? Yes, Mr. Kidd.
Two things I'd like to just go over, and I go back to this Prairie House thing. That's been an issue that's been brought up many times, and I'm actually more than pleased with Stu to put his foot down the other night and get something moving on that. You know, we have a responsibility throughout the city to do things. And that place is as unsafe as there is with all those old folks, and there's over a half a dozen of them that have their wheelchairs that go down to try to get to Bi-Mart and those other areas like the post office. So it's important that we focus on doing that, and I'm glad to see that we're going to do that. I brought this that crosswalk to George's attention 2 or 3 years ago, and then I actually noticed that if you go down to the end of Morrison, right there where First Street comes across and you're facing the school grounds, right there is a big wide crosswalk that goes from cement sidewalks over to the gravel area for Park and Rec. So that's not a new thing, and I've brought that up several times. So I'm excited that we're going to do something for those people, because they are one of our big senior communities that really don't have the viability of getting out and about and around like the rest of the city does. So enough of that, and I thank you, Stu, for your adamant comments at council the other night. The other thing is about the BLM park. We could spend a half an hour on that, but I'm just going to say it. You know, the NJROTC has stated many times that they want to take this on as their community service project. They're willing to devote the time and effort. And I really think that, and I'll go into some of the stuff. The agreements with BLM by the chamber in the past, they worked for a while, and then in the last couple of years, the chamber's not wanted to do really anything with that, and haven't. And I was excited when the NJOTC came up and said, we'd like to take that over as our project. I've talked to BLM. There's been a long, drawn-out period that they put the agreement together to with the NJROTC. And that agreement has sort of been laying there for a while because of the fire season, but they're now ready to sign it off. I've talked several times to Rich Pridey, and he's agreed to sign it off. There is the issue around the stuff that the trash and everything that gets put out there. If you look out there, and I look out there regularly, it's McDonald's and Subway. Well, it's in their best interest and the hotel best interest to actually have somebody taking care of it. And I've talked to the Subway people and Steve Forster, who was one of the owners, is excited about getting something done and getting some kind of cleanup going there. The NJOTC has agreed and has actually published a schedule of a routine schedule for cleaning it up. They've made arrangements to have a trash can put out there that's chained to a post and do regular cleanups. The bottom line is if we don't do this, if we don't help them, and I really want it known that I think the city needs to be a little more friendly in this whole thing about helping the NJOTC feel good about what they're doing. Because if they don't do this, what's going to happen is that it's going to grow up, won't get taken care of, and that's obvious over the last 2 or 3 years. It hasn't been taken care of until NJOTC took their interest in it. Then BLM's going to not have somebody take care of it. It's going to grow up. And then the city's going to have to deal with BLM about cleaning up their property. So the city's going to expend time doing that. So I think it's in our best interest to support the NJOTC in doing this. There's agreements in place. Mr. Pridey, who owns the property there of the hotel and the Subway, understand that it's in their best interest to have something in place to clean it up. And I've talked to him in the last couple of weeks, and this is where the NJROTC, the leadership, is committed to it. So I think in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see an agreement in place. You're going to see some regularly scheduled cleanup out there, and the mowing of the property. BLM has agreed to allow NJOTC to take out some of the trees and for better health of the ones that are there. So that's where that is.
And is there something in place with NJROTC for long term?
It's a long term agreement that NJOTC and Mr. Bridey is going to sign as an agreement to take care of it.
Awesome.
With BLM. BLM's developed the contract, or the agreement, and both of those entities are going to sign.
Good deal. Any other public comments? Staff comments?
No, just glad to have you all back after the summer. So I gave you a couple meetings off, and so we'll be back again. You know, we may skip a month because I think obviously maybe one, actually every 2 months might be a better thing. Get more like today. You know, there's a lot of different topics you can work on. Sometimes if you come every month, it's just you're simply giving a report on what you gave a month. These things take months to talk about, and as you find out, these things you were just now building your stuff. you discussed a year, year and a half ago, and that frustrates people. Well, we talk about the same things if we come every month. Well, you will. These are long projects. So really, we could, you know, don't be surprised, I think, if we kind of hit an every other month schedule, unless there's some issue. Is that, I don't know what you guys think of that. I don't mind you being here, but I mean, it's you do repeat. We don't have any money to spend. We're committed to the projects we're working on. So unless it's to talk about something that you hear around town, which is nothing wrong with that, you know, we don't have money to go start some new project.
Well, but we can email you with concerns and decide if we need to have a meeting or not at that point.
I get emails every day about yeah. So, but today I think it was productive. You know, you kind of got caught up on lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, be watching for these street lights going up and, you know, drive by these places that we talk about. You probably will, and you'll start looking for, start noticing things. That's what I do. Today on the way in, I drove by out on Drafter, and a couple camp trailers were gone that were there. I contacted the owners. They were there last week, but they said they'd get them out of there, and they're gone. So, you know, that's what I did. I whip around all over, and today someone told me about one that's out there, and we were talking about that one.
Do we have any inclination as to when ODOT's going to start the streetlight traffic signal project at...
Yeah, that'd be like March-ish, April.
March, okay.
Going to
realign that intersection as well?
It's widening out. Yeah, it's being widened and it'll line up.
Okay.
Yeah, it becomes traffic signaled anyway, so you wait until you get your green so you don't have to look the other ways. But I think it does... You're not going to be turning your head backwards or nothing.
Right. They're actually taking property out of ODOT's maintenance facility there, and they're taking property from McDonald's and lining everything up with the turn lanes. So.
Okay. Oh, I did send a letter to ODOT about asking them to sometime, you know, start thinking about moving their facility off of that so we don't have it in the heart of our downtown. With the cinder pit and all of it, and that they would go to a different location. And we would work with them on finding them a place. What's happened is, of course, the town grows, and then these things become Sisters. Matters moved out a decade ago. Sisters moved out last year. And they don't want to be in those locations. So I sent a letter to them. And we talked about it ahead of time. They knew it was coming. They actually told me who to send it to. You know, they want to. It could be a decade getting them gone. So there's nothing. Again, these are all long term. But you have to kind of make sure it's on the record in writing that over time you don't really want to have a maintenance facility with diesel and gas pumps.
When we first started this Public Works Committee, we addressed that issue then, and so we planted a seed with. One of the ODOT people that was here.
Yeah.
And so this is a good follow-up.
Yeah, so we'll work on, and then the other, they've actually been moving forward, kind of trying to figure out the accesses all out there at Wikia, where you got so many driveways, everything, and then down to the wood carver. And so they've drawn up a map of all those exits, I think we've seen here, but they've actually then been working on it further. You know, I had some of the day come up to me from ODOT and say, my gosh, it's kind of weird. They seem to be kind of internally working on that. Because I think while they've got some willing landowners and a willing city and everyone, they like to clean up a bunch of those, close them, bring them in from the back, consolidate, stuff like that, which is all part of cleaning up that end of town beyond his kind of a hodgepodge right now. Mm-hmm. And part of it's just with all the access. And I think that's a multi-year that they'll come in and engineer it. Who knows what happened. And of course, in the next, one of these days we'll be talking more of all the things we just talked about First Street we'll be doing with Wikia. Because we've got the same issue with pipes. And you know, and they're moving that along. It's a year behind this one. But
what is a year behind?
About a year, year and a half.
Yeah, aren't they supposed to about to start across the bidding next year, 15, and then start in 16?
Probably. Yeah, that sounds like Ken's on the
It's only been in plan for over 20 years.
Wow. Yeah. Don't want to rush.
But they've got their money for that. So, you know, some of these projects, they are delaying some, and that one I don't believe, but the feds out of money, and then you know, the lack of gas tax locally, as people are driving less, you know, the amount of money coming in. So you'll see some legislation, I think, that not only want to pay higher gas tax, but there'll be some red legislation probably that will, you know, increase some fuel taxes, registrations, and or and also then the hybrids.
Right.
That are paying.
Yeah, well, that's because our gas is so cheap here, you know, for the state.
Yeah.
It's bad when California has cost less for gas in California than
California and New York. Give me a break.
Well, we're right behind Hawaii and Alaska for the highest.
Yeah, right. We're third.
I came to see,
and we're trying to get them to first place.
I'm sure we can solve that as committee here. Are there any other committee comments before we?
I was going to, one suggestion for ODOT. Go down where the intersection of 31 is. There's a whole bunch of land there that they can go into. And it's outside of the city. It's right two major intersections, or a major intersection there for the highways, which they go down anyway. That'd be good property down there.
When they talk to me, it's really the land. We can help them with land, or they can find places like that. It's really the capital to build the facility.
Yeah.
Right. Fueling facility and doing it all in the buildings you're talking about.
Well, once they move, that'd be a nice place for drainage.
So that's BLM, so then we would have to work with the BLM to get a land train.
With a DEQ.
You know, that park is part of the BLM property that the maintenance yard's on. That's all one, you know, just
is one.
It's separated by the highway. When you look at the plat map and BLM talks about it, that's all one piece of property. The up to the fire station and across the street into that park.
Well, they own the library, they own where the park, you know, the parks thing. So obviously they had a big section. Maybe they had a 40 or they had something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, it's been. But that'd be a good spot for a welcome, you know, just kind of a thing. And you know, there's a lot of things you could do with that. With some, the city could redevelop that. We got possession of it, and you could have some off-street parking for people that want to walk downtown with camp trailers and things. Use it for some larger bio swells if you have to build some bigger ones. So I think it's right in the center of everything. Oh, and then you know, the other thing is the council did approve to move forward on the Wikia pump station thing, a super stuff, to actually get that fixed up and remodeled. Mm-hmm. And we also have, we're out for two little grants, $20,000 each, actually 18.5 or something, but call it 20, for money to study the Cagle subdivision for sewer and water.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and next Monday, our rate study, our sewer rate study will be here at Scott and I and Ashley and whoever Ashley brings along will be there at 1 o'clock or 1:30. So that's our first, so you'll end up with something here down the road on that. We'll have a presentation, and that may be why we need to have a meeting, because that will be a topic in itself.
We need to be prepared for the backlash.
So you think you're ready for that next month?
We haven't seen anything they're coming up to show us, but they'll probably have questions and ask for some different things, and then we'll, you know, they'll go back and work on things. So it may be October.
Could be October.
Yeah. I don't know, because they're here next week. We haven't seen anything. We don't know if they're noticing high lows.
It may be
anything.
That we might continue this on a monthly basis until the summer.
Yeah. If we have the rate study
right now is a very busy time.
You're right.
So November, December, then we can take it. Nothing's going to get done here.
Yeah, probably for sure. Well, we wouldn't meet in December, so
yeah.
We'll see how all that comes out. Those guys probably want to get paid, so they may want to start. But we're this.
Yeah, but if we don't meet them, we don't have to pay them.
Eventually we pay.
Put the money in the bank, let it collect interest, and then pay.
All the banks do it.
Our finance manager left, so we had to find the finance manager, and our planner took a job at Redmond, so I'm hunting for all of those.
Okay. Anything else before we so we'll make the motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Nobody's opposed.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.